Chapter 20, A Regular Guy. Love is just a four-letter word. Joan Baez. In 1982, when he was still working on the Macintosh, Jobs met the famed folk singer Joan Baez through her sister, Mimi Farina, who headed a charity that was trying to get donations of computers for prisons. A few weeks later, he and Baez had lunch in Cupertino. "I wasn't expecting a lot, but she was really smart and funny," he recalled. At the time, he was nearing the end of his relationship with Barbara Jasinski. They had vacationed in Hawaii, shared a house in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and even gone to one of Baez's concerts together. As his relationship with Jasinski flamed out, Jobs began getting more serious with Baez. He was 27 and Baez was 41, but for a few years they had a romance. It turned into a serious relationship between two accidental friends who became lovers, Jobs recalled in a somewhat wistful tone. Elizabeth Holmes, Jobs' friend from Reed College, believed that one of the reasons he went out with Baez, other than the fact that she was beautiful and funny and talented, was that she had once been the lover of Bob Dylan. "Steve loved that connection to Dylan," she later said. Baez and Dylan had been lovers in the early 1960s, and they toured as friends after that, including with the Rolling Thunder Review in 1975. Jobs had the bootlegs of those concerts. When she met Jobs, Baez had a 14-year-old son, Gabriel, from her marriage to the anti-war activist David Harris. At lunch, she told Jobs she was trying to teach Gabe how to type. "You mean on a typewriter?" Jobs asked. When she said yes, he replied, "But a typewriter is antiquated." "If a typewriter is antiquated, what does that make me?" she asked. There was an awkward pause. As Baez later told me, "As soon as I said it, I realized the answer was so obvious. The question just hung in the air. I was just horrified." Much to the astonishment of the Macintosh team, Jobs burst into the office one day with Baez and showed her the prototype of the Macintosh. They were dumbfounded that he would reveal the computer to an outsider, given his obsession with secrecy. But they were even more blown away to be in the presence of Joan Baez. He gave Gabe an Apple II, and he later gave Baez a Macintosh. On visits, Jobs would show off the features he liked. He was sweet and patient, but he was so advanced in his knowledge that he had trouble teaching me, she recalled. He was a sudden multimillionaire. She was a world-famous celebrity, but sweetly down-to-earth and not all that wealthy. She didn't know what to make of him then, and still found him puzzling when she talked about him almost 30 years later. At one dinner early in their relationship, Jobs started talking about Ralph Lauren and his polo shop, which she admitted she had never visited. "There's a beautiful red dress there that would be perfect for you," he said, and then drove her to the store in the Stanford Mall. Baez recalled, "I said to myself, far out, terrific. I'm with one of the world's richest men, and he wants me to have this beautiful dress." When they got to the store, Jobs bought a handful of shirts for himself and showed her the red dress. "You ought to buy it," he said. She was a little surprised and told him she couldn't really afford it. He said nothing, and they left. "Wouldn't you think if someone had talked like that the whole evening, that they were going to get it for you?" she asked me, seeming genuinely puzzled about the incident. "The mystery of the red dress is in your hands. I felt a bit strange about it." He would give her computers, but not a dress. And when he brought her flowers, he made sure to say they were left over from an event in the office. He was both romantic and afraid to be romantic, she said. When he was working on the next computer, he went to Baez's house in Woodside to show her how well it could produce music. He had it play a Brahms quartet, and he told me eventually computers would sound better than humans playing it. even get the innuendo and the cadences better, Baez recalled. She was revolted by the idea. He was working himself up into a fervor of delight, while I was shrinking into a rage and thinking, how could you defile music like that? Jobs would confide in Debbie Coleman and Joanna Hoffman about his relationship with Baez and worry about whether he could marry someone who had a teenage son and was probably past the point of wanting to have more children. At times he would belittle her as being an issues singer and not a true political singer like Dylan, said Hoffman. She was a strong woman, and he wanted to show he was in control. Plus, he always said he wanted to have a family, and with her, he knew that he wouldn't. And so, after about 3 years, they ended their romance and drifted into becoming just friends. I thought I was in love with her, but I really just liked her a lot, he later said. We weren't destined to be together. I wanted kids, and she didn't want any more. In her 1989 memoir, Baez wrote about her breakup with her husband and why she never remarried. I belonged alone, which is how I have been since then, with occasional interruptions that are mostly picnics. She did add a nice acknowledgement at the end of the book to Steve Jobs for forcing me to use a word processor by putting one in my kitchen.